Well, thank you very much, all of you. That was a great morning, and it felt good, and it was everybody, all of us participated beautifully well. The premier, I know, he's thought he was really, really pleased about how things go. You could see he didn't want to go, and his people made him, almost dragged him out the door, because he was getting photographs all the way down the hall and out into the street, and I think he would have stayed for an extra few hours. The fact is, and I told you, and you could tell, he really, really believes in this process. He really believes in the assembly, and he's very proud of it. What we're going to do now for this morning, I'll see if there's any questions in a minute. But what we're going to do is to look at the final report. This is the final report now. Of course, is the slim report. Okay, we're calling it the final report. We're going to see what kinds of changes we still might have to make. There are two or three that were sent in. We're going to make a few. We're going to look at the referendum question again. I'm going to suggest a slight change to the referendum question. Not much, just a little one. And then Ken's going to lead us through the technical report, the big fat report. We've got a couple of things for you to take a look at and to approve. And then Marilyn, probably the most important part, is going to take you through communicating our message and what we're going to spend some time doing in discussion groups this afternoon. Now, first of all, I think the questions, yes.
I found these glasses on my desk. Whoever belongs? Dorothy's? Somebody's?
Okay, they're probably George. Any other questions or comments before we get into the final report? All of which you now have received. Any comments or questions before we start? You want to just move along, Sam? Great. Okay. Now Ken is going to put on the screen for us what the final report's going to look like. More or less. You've seen the cover previously. Can you do the cover again? Or?
They've seen the text. They have the text themselves.
Yeah, you've got the text. So this is going to be the flavor of the report. This is some of the old text. One thing we might show you later, do a close-up of that pie chart. This is what it's going to be a very attractive report. Yeah, it's going to look nice. And as you know, your names will appear on the two inside covers. So the names basically wrap around the report, which is, I think, very attractive, and it uses the space very nicely. As you know, the title now is going to be Making Every Vote Count, The Case for Electoral Reform in British Columbia. And a copy of this report will be delivered to each one of the 1.4 million households in BC, probably around the mid of January to late January. You will still get multiple copies, but you might not meet as many as previously. Now, we want to take a look at a couple of parts of the report where we had some feedback. We had some feedback from various people. About some editing things, and we will look after those pieces. Most of them are very straightforward. Wendy gave us a whole bunch of editing comments, and we'll look after her. And we appreciate those, getting all those suggestions in advance. Now, the thing we want to take a look at now is, in the report which you received, there was very little under other comments. And we now have gone back to what you thought you would see there, and Ken's going to put it on the screen. Do you have this on your desk, by the way? Well, you do have it on your desk, so you can see it. I don't have it on my desk, so.
We're talking about the bottom of page 13 in the draft report. And in the initial mock-up, the extra sentences got left out. Remember that last week you said that just the headings weren't enough. You wanted a sentence or two about each of those headings. That's all the space there is in the other issue section in the first volume. The larger text, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, is in the second volume. This is just to kind of signal what was there. And a number of people said, look, just having these headings isn't enough, and then there really ought to be a sentence or two about them. And they were prepared, and somehow they just didn't get in the draft that was sent. This is the sentence that comes after the first one. And it really kind of speaks to the two or three paragraphs that are there, just so people know what that refers to. You've seen the larger text. These are the sentences that follow these four headings on page 13 that got slipped out in a kind of space squeeze. The second one, of course, speaks to the facilities for access to local MLAs. And there'll be a longer discussion about that that we'll come to. But in volume one, there'll just be a sentence or two to say, well, what that's about and why people might want to go and look at that particular section. The third one speaks about the role and operation of political parties and how they're more open and responsive. Many people think that might be a good thing. Jack? If you would like to give them. The fourth one really, again, is a sentence or two about that. But which one would you like to speak about?
Just on that, about the role and operation of political parties, I agree with it, but I think one of the other things that we heard a lot about was party discipline in the legislature. And perhaps just an additional reference, especially in regard to the nomination process and issues related to parliamentary reform, would help to reduce what is often referred to as a democratic deficit.
That seemed like a sensible suggestion. We're under space constraints here, but a couple more words will probably work. And the fourth one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Derek, you had a question over there.
On this slide, I was hoping we could not use the term democratic deficit. It was Paul Martin's campaign line, and the more we use it, the more we're just talking about Paul Martin's campaign line. I don't know if other people feel the same way, but I don't like it in there.
I mean, it's a term that, of course, that he appropriated from other people, but if people think it's too partisan, then you might want to avoid it.
Does parliamentary reform cover it sufficiently enough?
Paul?
Thank you. On the last statement, the public participation in BC democracy, I see on the draft copy I have, we've dropped the specific reference to First Nations. I would be more comfortable leaving that specific reference in.
Okay, we'll come to the full text, but these are just the kind of the,
yep.
the signal.
I read the full text as well, but on this specific... We had on the statements that we looked over last week, we had minority groups and a specific reference to First Nations. Could
okay.
we just add the term First Nations?
Then? I understand. Yep.
Does anybody want to respond to that? Because actually we had some comments where they wanted it deleted from First Nations.
Taya? No?
No.
We had Tannis.
I don't know how the First Nations people here feel about this, but I'd like to see the word First Nations in there. I think they're different from minority groups. And also, I don't think you need the word groups, women and minorities. Groups suggests, you know, kind of like groups or collectives, and we're talking about individuals, I think. So
there seems to be a consensus, women, minorities, and First Nations. There's a question down here. Margaret.
Two comments. One on the question of the democratic deficit. I think if you simply reword it as a gap in democratic process or something, rather than using what's been appropriated, would probably be less troublesome.
Okay.
And I certainly think that it's been important for First Nations in BC and in Canada not to be treated as a minority. You know, a multicultural mosaic minority, but to be recognized as founding people. So I think that having First Nations as a specific mention would be appropriate.
Less differently we will have than women, minorities, and First Nations in that paragraph.
Okay, thanks. These will go in volume one then.
Barbara?
Thank you. Regarding the phrase fuller participation by women and minority communities. In my mind, this creates the impression that women are a minority community, and they're not.
Barbara, I think you're talking about the second part, the part that's going to go in the technical report, the larger one.
Yes.
Can we keep that comment until we get to that one?
Very good.
Thank you very much. Okay. Then that's it. Then we have what, if you go to turn to page 3 of your report. It was pointed out to us that there's a heading there called Majority Government, which then is the heading for 3 or 4 paragraphs that follow. And it was pointed out to us the way that it reads there, it could be read as being one of our basic values, and it doesn't really, it's not the most appropriate heading for that. And so, therefore, we're going to have something which is a bit longer, but which captures everything which is in those subsequent paragraphs. It'll be something like the voter and majority, minority, and coalition governments. Okay? Because it does talk about all those kinds of outcomes. Okay? So it'll now read the voter and majority, minority, and coalition governments. Okay? So that was sent in advance, and that seems like a reasonable and appropriate suggestion. Do we have any other comments on the report of a substantive nature? As I say, some little edits came in from 5 or 7 or 8 people, and we've, for the most part, have used them. Yes, Craig.
Thanks. Just looking at the STV sample ballot, we were talking, I think, as a group about having a more of a horizontal format with names underneath the parties. Could that be put in the report instead of this more vertical format?
The reason it's here, and Leo might speak to this, or maybe can, in greater detail, but that suggestion came in from one or two persons, and it suggested this is the way that they now, Elections BC now does set it up, and if you do have 16 to 20 names on a ballot, a horizontal ballot is going to be very, very cumbersome. A vertical ballot like this just works better. And that was the rationale for it. Are you happy with that response?
Not particularly. I think that in our discussions and we voted on this, I think that we saw that there's an advantage to having the names underneath party headings as an important part of the ballot design, so that people would be able to vote in a much clearer way. I think that is probably important to put in the report.
Well,
and then Shoni.
Craig, I think there was a clear decision that candidates would be grouped by party and the party labels would be there, but whether it was horizontal, vertical, or circular, I don't think was ever, I don't think anywhere in the record was decided. I think we were just looking for a kind of simple visual. I mean, exactly what a ballot will look like will depend on what Elections BC creates, so we're just trying to, in this report, kind of indicate a simple visual, relatively small, that people could just say, oh, that's what it would look like. I mean, it might be horizontal, it might be vertical. A horizontal makes it easier for people to put above the line schemes in if they want. But, you know, ballot design will in that physical sense, will have to be decided by people who do that. But if the assembly thought that, you know, that this was misrepresenting their views, then we should think about it. It would be more difficult to put in the report, I guess. But
Shoni and then Rick.
I think whether it's horizontal or vertical, I don't mind, but I think one of the things that had come up in the group I was in when we discussed ballots was by listing the name of the individual and then the party, you are giving a bias towards parties that run more candidates because their party gets listed more times, whereas if you just have one heading for the party and all the people who are having to be running on it, each party is on the ballot the same number of times. They just have different individual names underneath their heading, which is the only thing that I'd heard that would suggest a reasoning for going towards that.
Rick?
I was just wondering if, I may have missed it, but if we just had a small statement or heading somewhere, this may or may not be what the ballot looks like, alluding to that it will be up to Elections BC. Would that, so people don't assume this is the ballot?
Yeah, I'm not even quite sure it's actually totally within our mandate. And Elections BC will probably do what they feel they must do, and there may be another act which actually supersedes our recommendation. We will get our, whatever recommendation we have consensus on, we'll put in here.
Yeah, so the voters are clear that they're not assuming this is the actual.
Yeah. Okay. Harley?
Yeah, I agree with Craig on this. I've done some presentations, and when I show them the sample ballot of the Australian ballot, they tend to understand that one better, quicker. So the only thing I could say is to put a preference in that we would prefer a horizontal ballot.
Could be. Let's see, Cheryl and then Sally. Cheryl?
No, I have to agree that not the horizontal one is as clear as just a vertical one. I vote for the vertical one.
Douglas.
Just to help clarify the ballot for the voter, would it be a good idea to show maybe penciled in an example of how the voting is actually done? For instance, might put number one for Peter, number two in with Brenda, and just show them an example of how the voting is actually done. I know it's explained in words. But if we're looking for a clear graphic to show them how it's done, maybe an example of penciled in numbers on the boxes to show whether we go horizontal or vertical.
Okay. Seems like there's consensus on that. Good. Here we got consensus. That's great. I think I have – who's next? Darren.
If there's going to be numbers written in the ballots, may I also suggest that the numbers show – that two candidates from the same party have been voted for. That will show voters that they can vote for multiple candidates from the same party.
Sure. Any last discussion on this one? Yes, Sally, sorry, I missed you.
If it is possible that the names of the candidate should be closer to the box, and the name of the party should be on the side, and say ABC or whatever, or 1, 2, 3.
It's possible.
The name should be closer to the box. We check.
Okay. Who's next? Sheila, and then Wolf.
I would prefer to see the names of the candidates first, followed by the name of the party, because this is a candidate-based system, and we want the emphasis to be on the candidate, I believe.
Okay. That's how it's usually done. Wolf.
Just some technicalities here. Can that header majority system be put on page 4 rather than on the bottom of page 3?
Oh, it will be. It won't appear that in the proper
thank
report.
You.
Oh, yes. Now, we have to deal with a matter of ballot, horizontal, vertical. Craig, I was actually fairly persuaded by Leo's suggestion that if in Vancouver we have 7 per party and you've got several kinds of parties, a horizontal ballot won't work very well.
My point is just for the understanding of how the system works for this final report, not necessarily for how it would show up in the election itself.
Okay, let me just check with Patrick in terms of graphics. Could you let us see what can work, okay? I've talked to a graphic. Patrick says it could be difficult. We'll take a look at it, because right now, if that's the way it appears, it'll look a little bit difficult. But we're going to try it, okay? But we're not going to totally torque the page out of, we're not going to put it into a very bad design just to accommodate it. Is that okay?
But we'll
take a look at it.
Good.
If you're that's fair, then we'll take a look at it. Okay. Are we finished with the ballot? Fred.
Well, it seems to me that the vertical is perfectly all right. I'm in favor of the vertical for randomizing names and all that other thing that will happen, rather than I think maybe perhaps we should have a vote on this.
Now, actually, I don't think we were in the mood for a vote. We're going to take a look at it and see what it looks like on the page and make a judgment on it. It's not going to be critical in terms of how. Craig, are you eager to talk? No? The other Craig, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, my brother talks a lot sometimes.
Let's see if you can kind of manage it without moving your lips.
Just in keeping with the randomness, I'd actually like to see the independent candidate kind of moved up to the middle or something, just because right now it shows 3-3-1-1, like there's some sort of almost like an inherent ranking system in there, and I'd like to just show it as completely random, so stick a single guy higher up the list.
Okay, we can put the independent up a little bit higher and give some numbers beside it. Next person, Wendy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two comments. In our last group, we did suggest that that on the ballot it should say how many candidates will be elected in that district. And the other thing is I disagree with Doug about his comments of explaining how to do it, because usually there is a demonstration ballot in the voting booth, and I think the less clutter on the is better.
Okay. And Alan McKinnon, apparently you're next. Where are you, Alan? Right.
The last sentence, BCSTV will produce for fair results, but not the kind of extreme fragmentation that other proportional systems have promoted in countries such as Israel. Do we have to mention Israel? Or do we mention it? Can we mention Holland and Israel? Or I mean, I just don't want to think that we're beating up on poor little Israel here.
Well, we'll look at that, okay? See if it's possible. Okay. Or it can just have, as in some other countries, we'll take a look at it. Any other comments on this report? Margaret.
Well, I wasn't sure if I was going to raise this, but I think when we set our values, we actually used the word proportionality, not fair electoral results. And I think there could be an argument about whether, in fact, proportionality is a necessary measure of fairness in electoral results. We've chosen that as a value, and I think we should highlight that rather than claiming that, for instance, the present federal election system is unfair. It's just one of several possible systems. So I think using that as the header is, I think we should use proportionality there.
Page 3. That would be a very major change if we did that. We define what our stance of with fairness. It's going to actually change the text a lot, but let's discuss it. Julie.
I was just curious about that change as well. We had talked about proportionality, and then the terminology was changed, and I wasn't sure where that came from. And so I'm glad that it was brought up. The other question that I had was with regard to the question: Are you going to keep the wording of the question as a separate topic?
The referendum question? Mm-hmm. Yes, we're going to come to that.
Okay.
In a minute.
Thanks.
Yeah. And then Linda.
My question is more general about the report going out. Is it okay to ask that now?
I guess we better know. We better deal with the heading under basic values with fair election results. And
okay, when we're done with
that's
that.
That's a challenge or
okay,
question.
Thanks.
We should take a look at that. David. And then, okay.
I would respectfully like to support the idea of using fairness. I think it really speaks to the basic value of proportionality, in that it's a fair representation of the of how the voters feel, and I do believe fairness is the right word to use.
Margaret wants to respond to that directly, and then we'll go to others.
I just wanted to confirm that when we established our values, we did in fact title that value proportionality, I think, not fair election results. I don't think we intend to imply here that, for instance, a majoritarian system or even a first-past-the-post system would not be a fair election.
In response to that, Rick?
In addition to?
No, oh. Then I'll take it in order then. Anne Rushlow.
I agree that proportionality be put into the paragraph and use the simpler words. The reason why I say that is when we came here, I didn't really understand how proportionality worked or what it meant. And we've gone through a long learning process. We know exactly, many people that I've discussed this with say, but I don't really understand what that word means. So I guess my caution is that we need words that people are going to understand, not people who have read a political science textbook like we all have. And I feel that it's explained adequately in the paragraph.
Anna Rankin, where are you, Anna?
I was just going to say the same thing about just using simpler words would be the point of...
Okay, a couple more on this one, then we'll maybe even take a vote. Tanis.
I've had people say to me, why didn't you guys choose a proportional system? And so I think the word proportionality is the word that we chose right from the beginning in our values. I think we need to stick with it. I don't know who changed it to fair, but I don't agree with that wording there anymore. I completely agree with Margaret. I mean, to say that our current single member plurality system isn't fair is actually wrong. It is fair according to the type of system that we have. And so I think that we owe it to our own process here to promote, to basically identify STV as a proportional system. And if we don't, we're going to confuse people, and maybe people will just say, oh, it's not proportional, you know, forget it.
Let's do it. No, I think everybody's got to respond. Jim, you're next, and then Jack McDonald's on there. Jim, where are you? And Douglas.
I'll pass.
Jim. You pass? CJ.
When we say fair, we're talking about accurate representation of voter preference. So if we can define very clearly that fair electoral results means more accurate voter representation, then we're okay. But if we just leave it there and say fair, then yeah, I'm of the feeling too. All of a sudden SNP is not fair? Well, no. It just means that this is a more accurate representation. So we need to say something about that. And that way, hopefully, the changes are minimal.
Okay, we've got about 6, 7, and we'll try and maybe take a reading and see where people are on that, okay? Rick, you're next.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest the same, very similar to Tanis, that we came up with these basic values. If we wanted to say fair, we should have said fair then. We didn't. We had... proportional, as well as the local representation. We should keep our values the way we described them originally. That's the decision we made back then.
Craig, you're next.
Thanks. I actually very much agree with the wording as it is. I think that when we adopted proportionality as a value, we didn't really look at that word very closely. I think proportionality is an answer to the value, and the value is fairness. I think that fairness is what we're trying to achieve, and proportionality is the way that we're attempting to achieve it. So the value that we're addressing with proportionality is actually fairness, and I think that fairness is described about what that means in the next paragraphs, and I think it's very clear.
Okay, this is what we have now for speakers, and we'll do this very quickly, and then we'll take a vote or whatever. Sharon, Jack, Doug, Harley, Shoney, Jean, Julie, FW. Then we'll call her off, okay? Sharon.
Couldn't we use both of them? Couldn't we have fair electoral results with proportionality beside it in brackets?
Well, we'll take one or the other as a heading, and then we'll discuss it in the paragraph, probably. Jack, I think. Which Jack is it now? This one, I guess.
All of the above.
Okay.
I take Margaret's point, but I agree with Craig. I think when people hear that in 96 the party with more votes lost the election, they say that wasn't fair. When they say in 2001 the party that won 57% of the votes won 97% of the seats, they say that wasn't fair. And what they mean by that operationally is it wasn't proportional. The votes didn't reflect the seats, or the seats didn't reflect the votes. I think using the term fair election results is more accessible to people. And then we explain what we mean by fair, to wit, proportional, in those two paragraphs right after. I think it works much better.
Okay, now we're going to try and keep our comments real short now, okay? If we can, Doug, do you want to speak?
Would it solve the problem if we took out the judgment call by using the word fair and just removed that from the statement and just had the heading electoral results?
Don't think so. Evelyn, where are you?
I was just going to say the same as Sharon, to combine them, fair or proportional.
Don't think we're going to do that one. Harley?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing of trying to remove the word fair to make it acceptable to everybody. But what about more representative, I can't say it now, more representative electoral results?
Harley, I don't think we should go there. I think it's going to be fair or proportional. I don't think we've got time to revisit that. That's probably more than we probably want to do. Shoni, I can see you even with behind me without even looking at you.
I think that the idea of combining has been put aside too quickly. I think fair electoral results through proportionality might do it. It implies there are other ways of getting proportional results. This is just one way we're getting fair results. This is just one way we're going. I really like the word fair. I think it's accessible. The problem is I've had people who made presentations to the assembly who know politics, who've been very interested in electoral reform, say to me, why did you choose a non-proportional system? And that is one of the main stumbling blocks that I've come across in promoting STV, that there's a big belief that it's not proportional. And so if we can say fair electoral results through proportionality, get the value in there, say it's proportional, and also leave it open that there are other ways of getting fair results, that might cover off everything.
I was going to ask the question as to whether you want to consider that as a third option. I think you've answered that. Gene.
It's already been said, but I agree that combining the two sides is the best way to go. I know there's a percentage of the voters out there that don't really understand the term proportionality, and I think if we can define it for them, they can have a better understanding of the system.
Okay. And Julie, are you same?
I just want to say I agree with Shoni, and one of the other things I wanted to say is we had last 2 weeks ago to discuss this, and now there's been a fair amount of work done on this document as well as other documents with terminology used that we would have had the opportunity to discuss 2 weeks ago, and I agree that it's maybe a bit late to dump everything and start all over.
FW, second last, where are you?
I'm right here. I don't know where some people are coming from. The job ahead is to sell this, okay? And to split hair at this time is not right. And if you can get out in the public and explain to them that wasting 60% of the ballots is fair, good luck to you. Fair is the word.
Let's take a vote on it. Rob, are you okay with numbers, with the buttons? We've got three. I was going to ask Margaret, if you'd like to, since you started, would you like to make a concluding statement? That would seem fair to me.
As I read this first sentence, proportionality, and then skip the part in the dashes, is the basis of fair electoral results. It's not the only possible basis of fair electoral results. Majoritarian systems are fair. First past the post can be fair. We didn't, in fact, set as our value, fairness. We set as our value proportionality. So I think we ought to perhaps just take the changes to I don't know, but it's somehow we're distorting what we did here, and I'm uncomfortable with that.
I guess I wasn't quite following you. What are you suggesting? We leave the title there, fair election results?
I would prefer that it said proportionality, because that was the value, in fact, that we endorsed. If
yes.
You want to leave it as fair electoral results, then I think you have to be clearer that this is not the only possible way to get them, that this focuses on one particular mechanism towards fairness.
Okay. Are you ready then to look at the question of the title that's here now? Well, actually, we listed even be fair. Where we have the title, fair election results, there are three options. One is proportionality, second, fair election results, and the one that Shoni has recommended, fair election results through proportionality. Oh, just a minute. Some people don't
Jack,
have buttons. That's right.
We can't vote over here because we're all squished up.
We're going to have to go by hands and see where we're at. So the are you ready to? Does that seem like a fair question? Okay. So the first one is proportionality. The second one is fair election results. The third is fair election results through proportionality. And the words that follow will be maybe changed a little bit to reflect what's been said there, okay? So, though, and help me count. Please, proportionality. Okay, fair election results.
Oh, wait, I think everybody's voting. Okay, we're not using the buttons?
Yeah. Okay, roughly. And then the third is fair election results through proportionality. It's done. Pardon me?
This is going to have through.
I know. I know. Well, I think, what are you going to do? I don't think you want longer headings now.
No.
The professor just pointed out, but I think we're going to go, because this was a fairly popular position, fair election results through proportionality is kind of out of balance with effective local representation and greater voter choice, but I'm not going to suggest we get balance by making the other two longer. Okay? So we'll just live with that. Thank you very much for that discussion and suggestions. Are there anything else now that we should... And I'm not encouraging you to change much that's in the current report. Linda.
Mine's a more general question about the distribution of the report. I just wondered, when it arrives in the mailboxes, will it be with a covering letter or will it just arrive as the report by itself? And if it does come with a covering letter, who would it be from? And would it refer the recipients to available resources to learn more about it?
Don't know yet, Lyndon. We'll have to think about that. The little discussion we've had about that is try to make it not look like junk mail. Probably something like to the citizens of British Columbia from the Citizens Assembly on Electoral Reform, and then the title of the report. Something quite simple. And it'll have to be folded like that. Otherwise, we can't afford the cost. But it probably should be fairly simple and probably no letter. Probably to the citizens, from the members of the Citizens' Assembly on Electoral Reform. Probably something like that. Otherwise, I think you've got it lost. You'll probably lose them. Sally, on this topic? Who else?
Can we send all the letters to the residents, like not an adjunct mail, because they will throw it out, like what had happened with the pizza? Shall we make it a little bit formal in order that they will take notice and keep it?
It will look just like our report, the report you saw. It'll be a very attractive report. It does have to be folded. We simply cannot afford to send it out without it being folded.
A regular full mailing is about $1.5 million, and this is about $150,000.
Yeah. So, you know, doing it this way, we're looking at about $150,000, where it would be $1.5 million to do it, to leave it the regular size. We just don't have that budget. But we will try to make it look not like junk mail. But, you know, we'll do our very best. Okay, we've got a list. Shoni, Sam?
Just a very brief thing that I just spotted. On page 7, it says the number of MLAs in Victoria and from each region will not change. We can't say that for sure because we don't know what would happen under any system with an electoral boundary commission. Can we not just change it to the number of MLAs in Victoria and from each region would be decided along the same lines as currently or something like that? Because a boundary commission may reduce or add MLAs to a certain region just based on population, and that would have nothing to do with our system.
Okay, have you got that, editors? Don't give us too many of these guys. We're in trouble. Sam, where are you, Sam?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Please don't take this the wrong way. But what the hell did you guys do last week?
Like, why are we still picking nits? Should we not be, you know, celebrating and moving forward and, you know, get, this should all be done. That's why I took those 2 weeks off. Thank you.
Good, Sam, but we will go through the remaining speakers we have here, and we've got to make sure that people are happy. Carrie.
Will there be some kind of announcement through the media prior to the delivery of the final report?
Yes, the plan is, although we're out of business, we can do it ahead of time, is to try and take ads and papers. Leo can correct me in the major papers as well as major regionals to say this is coming out and please watch for it. And it ain't junk mail, guys, you know, something like that. Not quite those words. Did you want to say something, Wendy?
With respect to that this last sentence about the number of MLAs in Victoria, when I read that, I thought I was talking about the Victoria City and not the government of Victoria. So I think I sent Leo a little email about that.
We got that.
Okay.
Ian.
Hi.
Yes. You better come here, Leo.
We looked at that suggestion, Wendy, but the rest of the province thinks of Victoria as where the legislature is at, where the government is at. And so if we change Victoria, which is used about four times, to legislature, to reflect your point, we're going to be then taking legislature, which is already mentioned about five or six times, and cranking it up to 12. And Victoria does represent government to a large number of people in the province. So that's the reason why it's still that way.
Wilf.
I agree with Sam. I think that we should leave this alone and celebrate instead of criticize. But I have a question. We're sending this out to all the households in BC. Would it be possible to encourage people to contact their local assembly member if they want more information? Would there be some way that could be perhaps in the letter, covering letter or something? You know, if you want more information, please phone and maybe put our phone numbers along with our names.
The intent of your comment we have.
Okay.
Thank you. Frankie.
Just want to pick up on Shoni's comment. I'd be a bit concerned about taking that sentence out or changing it because I think that might be a red flag to some people. Oh, this new system, they want to increase the number of MLAs. I don't know. I'd just be a bit concerned about that.
We'll work on that. The professor says we'll work on that. Don, maybe you're the last person on this round. Where's Don?
Right here.
Yeah.
A small comment on Will's topic there. Maybe not referring to the members directly, but is there any way or would it be wise at all to put in something perhaps about this alumni internet website?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
No. Taya?
Just to jump in on that, I had two, I'm not going to say threatening phone calls, but I had two pretty bad phone calls. So they had just gone through the phone book. So we need to kind of watch that.
Yeah, there is, at the back of the report you'll see, and we'll add more if we have, you know, what, where can you find further information, whether there's an education information office that'll be indicating everything else. My hunch is we should wind this portion up, if that's okay, and move on to the other technical report, because we do have some things to do. The first thing we're going to look at is a referendum question. Okay, the red one is the one you've agreed to. The one in blue changes very little. What we've done is we've deleted the terms in its final report to make it shorter, and it's not necessary. And we've used the full name, Citizens Assembly on Electoral Reform. The first one doesn't use the full name. So that's really the major change. We're using the full name, and it's just a little bit shorter. Okay? Done. Pardon me? Glenn. It's good to have you back.
Mr. Chairman, the referendum question is, in my opinion, the most important script we have developed in our assembly during its tenure. The question asks for change, which voters will reject out of hand. The word change should be deleted to eliminate natural rejection of change. I therefore move that we amend the referendum question to read, do you agree that British Columbians adopt the new wording, British Columbia single transferable vote electoral system, as recommended by the Citizens' Assembly on electoral reform, yes or no? We must eliminate the word change in a referendum where we're hoping and asking for people to accept our recommendation. So therefore, we should eliminate the word change and use the word adopt to be positive.
We're going to have about two or three comments on that one, then we'll find out where we're at. Let's take two or three. I want to tell you, by the way, originally it was adopt, by the way, and you guys wanted change. So I'm going to take two comments, and then we're going to take a vote on it. We got Frankie first, Sheila. Frankie.
I couldn't agree more. I've been really unhappy about this. I know that that when we discussed it, it was suggested that we use the word change, but we did not vote on that. And I feel very uncomfortable, and I thoroughly agree that the word change, when people go in, if they don't understand it, people will not vote yes for change. They're very leery of change. I think it's much more positive to use the word adopt as we originally had it. And we did not, although it was discussed and it was changed, we never actually voted on that change. And I just think about the Charlottetown Accord and other things, and I think that we should make it as easy for people to vote yes as possible. Thank you.
Do you think you have enough information now to vote on this? Okay. So we don't take the formalized motions, but we'll take, let's say, the question is, do you agree that we should drop the word change and put in the word adopt? Okay, Sheila, you want to comment on that first?
Yes, I really do want to comment on it. I have repeatedly been approached by people to say we really need to change. We really need a change. I think people from BC are asking for a change, and we're offering them the change.
Well, that was a discussion we had a couple of weeks ago, by the way, when we looked at the referendum question. It was once originally adopt, and you moved it to change. Well, two more comments on this, and we have to move on. Julie?
Do you think, with regard to the people that you're hearing back from, that any of it has to do with age? I found that the older people that I spoke with, they were just scared of change. You start talking about the change, they got scared. That was just my experiences, and younger people were more open to the word change, but the others weren't.
Okay, two more, then we're going to vote. Lil and Jim, then we're going to vote. Yep.
Actually, last week when we were here, I thought that we had decided not to use the word adopt because it was sounded too formal, and that we had decided to use the word accept, and that eliminated change as well.
Well, we're not. I don't think we should put three on here at the present time. Who's it next? Jim.
Like you said, we had checked our, went through it, and we wanted it to make it as simple as possible, and so everybody could understand it. And I don't see a problem with the word change. Nobody's going to be scared of it. It's everybody wants something different, and the word change means different.
I'm going to take a show of hands and see where we're at, okay? I mean, if we're really close, then we'll talk about it some more. If we're not, we won't. So I will ask you, first of all, I'm going to ask two questions. How many, in the first case, how many support the word change? And secondly, how many support the word adopt, okay? First of all, then the question is, how many would prefer to keep the word in there that we now have change? Well, let's take a look at and see the other side and see how close we are. How many would like to have keep in the word there, adopt? It's almost split. Is there another suggestion? Shoni, you came up with a good one last time. Do you have another one now that's going to resolve this? Carrie.
I'd like to, again, back the word accept. Adopt, to me, right away, I think of children. And I think that's a very sensitive subject. To accept something means either yes or no. Yes, I accept. And so I'd like to go forward with the word accept. I'd like to back that up.
Who was it, Mary? Mary Jarrett? Where are you, Mary? Yeah.
I'd like to use the word accept as well. And I think that all the work that the Citizen Assembly has done on this project, people believe in what we've done. And to use the word accept would be easier for them to understand than change.
Well, the professor is whispering into my ear, and I agree with him. Accept's a pretty weak word. Well, we can do buttons, or I can take votes. The buttons, unfortunately, not everybody has a button. I'll take two more, maybe, comments to see if we can find a way out of this. Margaret?
I don't know if it meets the simplicity criterion, but we could clarify, perhaps, by saying, do you agree that British Columbia should conduct future elections under the BCSTV system, yada, yada.
Ingrid.
I think British Columbians need to understand that if they accept another system, it is going to change. I think the word change is fine.
Okay, Sally, Edith, and then I'll take new people, Arlene, and then we'll see where we're at. Sally?
Well, change is more understood, especially when you have a second language. And it's a very strong word to change. And if you say adopt, that means to say you're adopting a child. They misinterpret it. So why not just go forward and say change?
Okay. John, short, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'm very happy today is the last day. The way we are following our steps, in 2-3 more meetings, we would destroy the whole work what we did the last year. Every argument, 5 counter-argument. And it seems to be we are a self-destructive society. We have to stick to the wording as it is.
Edith, and then I think we'll take a vote now.
Okay, I'm going to agree with Sally. I think that we are asking the people of BC to make a change, and we shouldn't pussyfoot around. We should just say, do you want to make a change? And we shouldn't be trying to make it sound like we're trying to trick them by using some word to make it sound like we're not asking them for a change.
F.W. Zeger, we're going to actually vote, and unfortunately we're going to do counting, which is very slow here, but we'll have to count hands. But F.W.?
The last time we talked about that, the problem I had was the word should. Do you agree that British Columbia changed the BCSTV electoral system? Take should out and leave change. Because I think should is a negative flag.
You got to have something in there. F.W.
We have wordsmith here somewhere.
Okay, we're going to vote on this if you're ready, okay? Okay, so there's 3 words we're looking at now, although I rather cast aside, Mary, your accept as being kind of weak, but but I still respect your suggestion, so therefore it's still here. So I'm going to take votes on change, adopt, accept. Okay, in that order. Okay, and who's going to help me count? Who's Don, are you counting? Don, are you counting? Who's counting?
Jack.
Yeah, Alan.
Would it not be easier to count the people that do not have a button? There might be 4 people that don't have a button. Those that couldn't vote by a button, couldn't we just count them?
Okay, that may not be a bad idea. If you got, Rob, let's do buttons. And those who don't have buttons, let us record your vote.
Sorry, slide on down.
No, it's okay. We'll just use the buttons, and those who haven't had buttons, we'll just ask them how they want their vote recorded, okay? So it's 1, 2, 3. Button 1 for change, button 2 for adopt, button 3 for accept. Okay? Hit your buttons.
We should see,
no,
let's, no. They should be able to vote before we see the results.
No, yeah. can't do it.
No, yes, you can say, you can, no, you can ask the members who don't have.
Okay, Rob, have you?
No. I'm sorry. I think that they should be able to vote without seeing the results. The members who don't have buttons.
Well, that's what I'm asking, Rob. Rob, is it possible to get everybody to vote and then ask the people how they voted before we see the results? Can you hold the results off the screen? Okay, are you ready to vote? You did. Okay. I think this is too complicated. Let's just see. Let's show us the results. Oh, let's see. That's what I thought. Do you accept that we leave it as it is? Okay. We are finished with the referendum question. Ken Carty, you will please take us through the technical report in 5 minutes.
Okay. Better put my glasses on. There are in the technical report two sections that that are more than just kind of technical accounts that really speak to your recommendations. And the first one is the recommended BC STB electoral system. And you've all had a copy of that. And basically this is the detailed framework for drawing up a new Elections Act. A new Elections Act will probably be 159 pages. The current one's 161. But these are the framework because it contains all the key decisions. About district magnitude, about the ballot, about counting rules, and so on. So this kind of summarizes the amended STV model. If there are anyone who has any problems with any of those sections, this would be an occasion in which to speak now or forever hold your peace. On the counting rules, I'm going to remind you that there's a document called BC STV Surpluses that was put together by Shoney and a working group of people, their names are all on the bottom of page 4, that really details a decision that was made about the counting rules. They're all, this report is reflected in those specific counting rules in the other document. You'll recall that last Saturday at breakfast there was a long discussion and a description of this, but it hasn't actually formally come here. So if there are questions, as the author and co-chair of this working group, I'm sure Shoney would be more than pleased to answer them. But this is the document that lies behind the counting rules, at least the middle counting rules, in the section that we'll go in, and really constitutes the details of the system that you're recommending. Any questions about that? You agree that this is the document you want in Volume 2 to spell it out? Once? Twice? Agreed. Oh, too quick, Harley. Okay.
Sorry, guys, but I am getting a lot of questions about the size of the multi-member districts and how that's going to be decided. I realize it's being decided by the Boundary Commission, but I'm just wondering about the wording in that. If it's strong enough to give voters an idea of how those multi-member districts would be chosen and the sizes thereof. Because that is a major concern. I get the feedback that, you know, how can we vote on this if we don't know what the area we're going to be in, what's it going to look like?
Well, I mean, the truth is they can't know that a boundary commission will have to decide this, and there'll be trade-offs, and that process will be decided in a very public process with a boundary commission going and holding public hearings. We've tried as best we can to reflect in those paragraphs exactly what you said you wanted, emphasizing that because proportionality is the goal, wherever possible, larger districts are to be preferred. And that's the kind of instruction that a boundary commission would have, but within that framework, just as they have instructions now about the plus or minus 25, and they interpret that as they like. It's, so there's no easier answer. Now, if the wording of this is not faithful to what the assembly wants, then that's a very different kind of question, I think. Paul.
Ken, when we initially discussed that, I thought we came away from that discussion with some relatively clear guidelines on boundary size for the multi-member districts, and I'm more comfortable using the actual numbers and so raising an expectation that, for example, in the Okanagan, that we would have districts from 4 to 5, not just under the general principle. So, I mean, that should answer Harley's question. If I have an expectation in the Kootenays that we will have 4 to 5 ridings. To me, that's more understandable.
Yeah, I guess we thought we heard that you didn't want kind of categories of 2 to 3, middle size, et cetera. And so those came out last weekend. But
I would prefer the numbers. They're clearer, and they raise clear expectations consistent with our initial discussion.
So how would you anticipate those looking? I
mean, initially, we had the riding size of 2 to 3 for the remote areas, and I assume that's only one in British Columbia. The rest would be 4 to 5, and the next level would be 4 to 5, and the next level above that would be 5 to 7.
Okay, I guess we heard the assembly tell us pretty clearly they didn't exactly want that kind of categorization last time, so maybe... Craig and the Shoney, and then Sharon.
Yeah, as you might know, this has been a concern of mine, getting the phraseology for this correct. And I think in the general, under the general heading in Part 3, I think the phrasing is good. I think it does the trick. But there's in the second last line of Number 3, it says, in the most densely populated urban areas, districts should be created at the upper end of the range. Should that be in the more densely populated areas?
Could be.
That's my only quibble. So it's good.
Shoney?
I thought strongly last time that we should take out the categories, and I'm really quite happy with how it is now. And I think by saying that the sparsely populated areas would be as few as 2 and the densely populated areas would be at the upper end, it does give the sense that places that don't qualify themselves as most densely populated are going to be in the middle of that range. So I think it covers off all of our needs, and I'm really happy with it.
Sharon?
We spent a half an hour discussing this last meeting, and we decided that we were having no categories.
We want to move on? Okay, can we take this document then as accepted? Thank you. The other document, of course, is the attempt to summarize the other issues raised by British Columbian section for Volume 2. You'll recall we've agreed on the kind of the sentence in the window in Volume 1 that will speak to these. They are the same headings, and there are some paragraphs about each of them. Do they faithfully record the general thrust of what you want to say in these sections? Shoney?
I mentioned this last time, but under the facilities for access to local members, it implies that the only reason this is a concern would be if the new system was adopted. I think what we heard from people was a concern about the ability of MLAs in rural areas to serve their constituencies regardless of the electoral system. And definitely as population decreases there, that will be a problem. I think as another consideration, it sort of stands above and outside our particular suggestion and relates to any electoral system.
Okay, we'll see if we can make sure tenses are right on that. Other comments? We take this document then as... Oh, Rick.
I'm just wondering if anybody has noticed the wording at the top. We were, assembly on electoral reform was specific and clear. Our mandate was specific and clear. We were to make recommendations on the model that should be sort of the problems on the province. We were to make a recommendation. This is almost implying that we were to do okay, more than yep. a recommendation.
Right again, Rick.
Thank you.
Julie?
Maybe I'm wrong on this one, but when with regard to what Rick said, we weren't necessarily to make a recommendation.
Well, we would make a recommendation either to keep the present system or not, and then a second recommendation, if not, what to change to. So there sort of were two.
Okay.
The plural okay. is okay, kind of, Rick, but fair enough. The last word? Oh, no, Shawnee's here, too. Okay, Barbara.
I guess now is the point to discuss in the section public participation in BC's democracy my concerns about the wording of the sentence, systems to fuller participation, fuller participation by women and minority communities. And to my mind, that creates the impression that women are but another minority community. That perception could only serve to continue the marginalization of women who are more or less an equal part of all communities, whether minority or majority.
We heard that loud and clear, and it will be fixed. Thank you, Barbara.
I've got actually it's a grammatical question. It's on the other issues raised by British Columbians. So you stapled together third paragraph, first sentence. You might want to help us on this, people. All of them reflect the deep concern many citizens have for the health of our democracy and the way our politics is practiced. Politics are, politics is. I'm a math teacher. English teachers, help us out.
We'll fix it.
Okay, other substantive. I mean, if there are editorial things, it's very helpful to have them, obviously. But this is Shoney's last non-editorial point.
Just following up what Barbara said, I wanted to make sure that the change that happened in the public participation in the first document got brought over
yep.
here, that it's women, minorities, and First Nations, and that the communities is struck off.
Well, the whole third paragraph is about First Nations.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we heard it. Okay, thank you very much. I think... Margaret?
Just a quick point. I think if we change this to politics are, that it entails that there might be an expression politic is, and there isn't.
Is that the end of it? It's mine.
Okay, we're going to, don't anyone go away. We're going to take just 1 minute, just, yes? What is that? Donna can't, yes, Amanda.
Just a comment on that politics are practiced. Politics is technically plural, therefore it's R, A-R-E. Yeah, it's plural.
Amanda, we'll look into this, okay? I don't think we're going to do a group discussion of whether or not it's correct or not, but we will look at it, and we'll make sure the editor looks at that very carefully. Marilyn is going to be with you in about 1 minute. Take 1 minute break to talk to your next-door neighbor. Just 1 minute. Don't go away, and then Marilyn's going to talk about communicating our message. So just stay where you are, please.
Okay, are you ready to start again? Well, you've already talked a bit about the householder, so... That'll cut my presentation down a little bit. In your discussion groups this afternoon, you're going to have a chance to discuss and shape the Assembly's message. So I thought it would be useful for you to have a quick look at what we currently have planned, and perhaps that will factor into your discussions this afternoon. Many of you have already booked speaking engagements and presentations in your communities. So these are some of the presentation communication tools that we are working on. And by the way, you will get a copy of each of these, at least each of these that's completed, in your discussion group, so you can see what we're in progress, you know, what we're working on. They are drafts that you will be receiving. We have three fact sheets that are in draft form. The first one is about the assembly process. The second is a draft fact sheet on the current electoral system. And the third is on your recommended system, BCSTV. A fourth fact sheet will be developed on the counting system. We also have two PowerPoint presentations, a shorter one that focuses more on the assembly with a bit on your recommendation, and a bit of a longer one that focuses almost entirely on your recommendation. And finally, we prepared some aids for you to help prepare for your speaking engagements, a Q&A and a key messages sheet. And I think the key messages sheet is what you're going to be working on a lot this afternoon, you know, shaping it to meet your specific needs. We also will have a short video for you. In fact, we're going to be doing some shooting today for that video. And that, again, will focus on your recommended BCSTV system. You already know that Knowledge Network has been with us for the entire year, producing a one-hour documentary that will air in late January, January 27th. I believe the first airing date is 9 p.m. And we have made arrangements with Knowledge Network for each of you to receive a copy of that documentary. And, of course, your major tool will be the final report. In your discussion groups, you will also have the chance to sign up. We've got a little form going around each discussion group where you can sign up and say how many final reports you are going to need for your speaking engagements and, you know, to hand out to your friend, your barber, your parole officer, you know, whatever. And you can also sign up for all the other tools as well, how many copies that you're going to be needing. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. The final report distribution, in addition to the reports that you get and that you will be receiving, we are going to be sending out from our office reports to a lot of public access locations. And I've put a few of the examples up there: libraries, municipal halls, First Nations, high schools, MLA, constituency offices, etc. And some of you have already given us some additional ideas, so I appreciate that. We'll also send a copy of the final report to everyone who provided us with a submission, everyone who's on our newsletter list, and we have, I believe, over 2,000 people on our newsletter list right now. And then a number of people have been phoning the office and just requesting a report, and we've been making a list of those. So if you have any names you want us to add to the list, please pass those along to the office. And, of course, Jack has already mentioned that we'll be doing a mail drop of the final report to every household. The public website is going to be prepared by the end of December so that it will be maintained but static up until the referendum. The site will include all the existing content and I think a pretty good suite of BCSTV resources. Don is working with a contractor right now to develop an animation. I think many of you have told us how useful the animation on the South Australia website is. We're going to have our own version of that. And, of course, there's lots of relevant links. And the video that I mentioned earlier will also be posted to the website. You know that on December 10th, we hope to present the first copy of the final report to the AG and at the same time to the people of BC by posting it on the website. And then, of course, as always, we'll do a news release after this weekend. And we'll probably put a news release out about December 3rd, just letting the media know about the presentation of the final report on December 10th. And then we'll put a news release out just letting the media know that the office is closing the end of the month. We hope, in addition, to make arrangements to have some news releases go out in January at the time that the final report is provided to every household. Just, you know, just another way of trying to prevent people from tossing it out with the junk mail. So we'll try to take care of that avenue. Not quite sure how to do it when the office is closed, but we'll see what we can do at this point. And we'd also like to do a news release alerting the public of Knowledge Network's documentary. Then in addition, during the month of December, we are going to try very hard to put together some media information packages that media can have on hand so that when this topic becomes high profile, when we get close to the referendum, they can refer to these and use them. For example, for television and cable, we hope to provide them with some video clips. Just, it's called B-roll, that they can use to put together their own stories. And for the newspapers, perhaps a selection of photos that they could use, as well as some articles that if they chose they could run. I think Jack also mentioned the possibility of paid advertising. That's something else we hope to do. Finally, with the education community, Susanna's been working hard to ensure that educators are up to speed on the activities of the Assembly and your decision. The final report will be distributed to high school social studies teachers, to post-secondary libraries and political science departments, and of course the Assembly website has had and will continue to have some really good teaching aids on electoral systems. In addition, we're lining up some members to speak to young people and are supporting groups such as Get Your Vote On and Student Vote that are dedicated to getting youth out to the polls. So have a good discussion time this afternoon, and I look forward to hearing what comes out of your discussion groups, and we will shape the messages accordingly to what you tell us. Thanks. I guess there's some questions. Jody?
Last week we were told that final report will be also done in Punjabi and I believe Mandarin.
Yes.
So can we get additional copies of those if we can?
Yes. Actually, if you wouldn't mind sending an email to the office telling us exactly how many you're going to need in which languages.
Thank you.
Thank you. Julie, did you have a question?
Yes, I had two questions. The PowerPoint presentation, will we be able to have those as PowerPoint files?
Yes. The plan is in the packages that we'll send to you in December, once we're able to incorporate all of the information that you'll give us this weekend. Will include a CD-ROM of the PowerPoint presentations. And if you need transparencies, if you're going to be using overhead projectors and need transparencies, could you please let me know so that we can include a transparency in your package? I'd rather not put it in every package just because it takes a long time to make those things, but yes. If you need one, let me know and we'll include them.
And the documentary that we will be receiving from Knowledge Network, have they indicated if this will be on DVD?
They will all be DVDs.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? All right. Enjoy lunch.